What is it? Oh, upstairs.
I'm not sure how that is.
Good evening. Welcome to the Portland City Council Chambers. Today is Wednesday, December 16th for our 6 p.m. session. Carlo, could you please read the time certain, item number 1752.
Proclaim December 16th to be Senator Margaret Carter Day.
Doesn't that have a nice ring to it? Yes! We'd like to invite forward Reverend Renee Ward and Kelvin Hall.
Today, a wonderful day. Mayor, commissioners, Ms. Carter, your family, community members, elected officials, my name is Kelvin Hall, and it is truly an honor to be part of this historic moment in our city's history. My remarks will be brief. However, I would like to recognize a few people before beginning. Commissioner Leonard, thank you, sir, and your staff for your commitment to this endeavor. I also would like to thank the committee. First, Professor Denorza Price, Reverend Ward, and Dr. Haynes, whose time and commitment to this effort made an idea a reality. Thank you all. I am a former community advocate of more than 10 years. I have fought to address the closing of the achievement gap in inner city schools. I have stood with families whose civil liberties and constitutional rights had been violated. Tonight, I'm here to honor a community leader. The preamble to the Constitution starts out, "We the people." It's a very eloquent beginning, but when that document was completed on September 17, 1787, I was not included in "We the People." I often thought that George Washington and Alexander Hamilton by mistake left me out. But through the process of amendment, interpretations, and court decisions, African Americans were fully included in "We the People." Ms. Carter's leadership embodies the American dream. Whether you're a Democrat, Republican, or independent, When you study her history of public service, it can only make you proud as a citizen. Her history reflects the ultimate goal, which is to create a shared community for all. To quote Dr. King, cowardice asks the question, is it safe? Expediency asks the question, is it politic? But conscience asks the question, is it right? And there comes a time when one must take a position neither safe nor politic, nor popular, but because conscience tells one it's right. I was asked by a family member to serve as their community advocate, whose issue, quite frankly, was above my head. I convened a meeting with three men. My request was that they stand with me and the family as we sought justice. The response from the first gentleman was, I can't because of potential retaliation. The second stated he could not for fear of being levied with manufactured facts against him if he were to help. The third stated, no, I fear being put into a secret database. I fear being put into a secret database of those who's challenged injustice. But there was one person who carried the torch to the steps inside the Oregon legislature seeking justice and who marched in the streets using her presence, which inspired others from all backgrounds to get involved. I recall walking at the back of a march that Senator Carter was leading. There was an elder couple, the husband pushing his wife in a wheelchair. As I walked with them, I asked, why are you here? And the wife, who had a spinal problem, responded, I'm here marching because Senator Carter is here marching. Senator Carter, thank you for standing when men were afraid. You carried the torch for the underprivileged, for those who have been violated in terms of civil rights and civil liberties. You've inspired an entire community to do better, to work harder, and to be involved. So today, we honor you with the highest city award. With the presence of these folks here today sends a clear message that if you have a dream of making a difference, that if you're not afraid like those men were, they were afraid to stand. But you stood, Senator Carter. You stood for the family. They were afraid of retaliation, but you stood. And for that, I salute you. And for that, I thank you. And it is my distinct honor to lead the torch for today. Thank you. Thank you.
It is also my distinct honor, first of all, giving honor to God, who is the head of my life, and then to all of those of our elders that have gone on to be in glory. At this time, we celebrate a very momentous occasion, giving honor to you, Mayor, and the council members that are present today, and your generosity. Commissioner Randy Landert, we want to thank you and your staff for helping us to bring this occasion forward. I just want to say that I am someone who's standing on the shoulders of someone else who has gone before me, and it's a great honor and a privilege. And one of the persons that I thought of, contemporary, if you saw the press release, was Sojourner Truth. And when, if you don't know, how many, first of all, I just have to say this, I was treated like church for a minute, I can take that privilege. Just show me your hands if you know who Sojourner Truth is. Is and contemporary to our present. And I just want to share a comment. I'm sort of fatigued at this time, but I am excited at the same time. I want to just give a quote that I had wrote in the press release commenting about Senator Carter, who has known me since I was little, if I remember right. I'm not dating you. Senator Carter is a contemporary to the stalwart and courageous Sojourner Truth. I'm honoring her today for her commitment, courage, and compassion. Those are the three elements that I saw when I think about all the contemporary niceties that we have at our disposal through technology to get the word out, to be a clarion, to be a heralder of justice and liberty for all. But when we think about in the past, when our forefathers and our foremothers did not have text messaging and all these other contemporary devices to get the word out, I think of Sojourner Truth and how just through her courage, her compassion, and her commitment, and her commitment, and her commitment, and her commitment, and no excuses, and no excuses, and no excuses, but to take care of business. So on today, we want to thank you. It isn't much, but time is of everything, and we thank you for your commitment and your time to be our contemporary Sojourner Truth. And at this moment, I will turn it over back for those of you who are on the roster. I want to introduce at this time Ernest Ernie Warren, attorney law, who will bring a tribute, followed by representation from the governor's office, and we'll go forward. Thank you.
Mayor Adams, council members, it's my pleasure. Margaret is a dream come true for the city of Portland. And I'd like to say, who has done more for the children and the most vulnerable in the city? I'd like to ask you, who's done more to streamline business? The enterprise zone, women and minorities in business. And who's done more for the environment? Let's talk about the Columbia River Gorge and Waterfall Project. Hasn't been a project like that for seven decades. And when we have an answer to all those questions, it's Margaret Carter. Margaret Carter was born, and she doesn't mind us talking about her age, back in 1935 in the Jim Crow South. In the Great Depression of Shreveport, Louisiana. Her father was a home builder. He built homes, and he was a minister at St. Calvary Baptist Church. Mother built homes right alongside of her husband and was a homemaker. And Margaret told me a story about how her mother could put tacks in her mouth, frame a room. They had magnets on the back of the hammers, and she could wallpaper and frame the whole room and have the supper ready in time for when her husband got home. That's a great woman, and that's a great role model, and that's what she brings, is her Christian faith to her beliefs. She had a dream, and her dream was that she could escape Jim Crow, and she could escape domestic violence, and she could be an advocate for the most vulnerable people in our community. And she, a friend, family friend, said, come on up to Portland. And in December 1st, 1967, Margaret Carter came to Portland with five kids on her hips. And she knew to attain her dream, she had to advance her education. She advanced her education first. She started at Grambling State back down south because we could only go to black colleges back then in music. She got a bachelor's degree at Portland State University. By 1973, she had a master's degree in education, educational psychology, Oregon State University. And in 1973 is when she started her career at Portland Community College, both as a faculty member, a counselor, and a teacher. And she had an illustrious career at Portland Community College, 26 years. Margaret then went after protecting the most vulnerable in the city of Portland, our community, and ran for the House of Representatives, and in 1984 became the first African-American woman in the history of this state to serve. Her first week as a representative was a rough one. She was called the N-word. She's called a monkey. She was called out her name, and she cried. But she remembered her dream, and it strengthened her resolve. And she went on to not only serve in the House of Representatives for 15 years, but served in the Senate for 8 years thereafter. And that's what this great woman did. Peter Courtney once said, when we needed an ambassador to the Republican Party of the state of Oregon, our ambassador was Margaret Carter. Now, I can't remember all of the legislations that the ambassador talked about without looking at my notes, but the ambassador passed some of the following laws the ambassador championed. The holiday honoring Martin Luther King Jr. in 1985, the South African divestiture in 1987, the Enterprise Zone, and some of you might not know how the Enterprise Zone affects Portland. The Enterprise Zone is in our most blighted areas. The federal government puts up money to go in and correct the blight. Margaret Carter championed that in 1987. That's why we have the Oregon Convention Center. That's why we have all those new developments on MLK. That's why it's a bridge to everything, to this business community in downtown Portland, Margaret Carter. She championed Head Start for kids and made it a permanent thing. The Columbia River Gorge Project that I mentioned earlier, 1985. And she also championed low and moderate income home ownership for the city of Portland. Now, when we had issues of protecting some of our most vulnerable people, minorities, gays and lesbians, they sent our ambassador, Margaret Carter. And behind closed doors, she went to some of those Republicans and she explained that her own experiences of discrimination coming from Jim Crow, coming from the Depression in the South, and up here in Oregon. And she explained that everybody needs to be free from discrimination. And that's how we have the laws as a result that we have today is because of Margaret Carter. When she was on the Budget Committee, former Portland State University President Dan Bernstein said, Margaret is a guardian angel in the budget process. When Portland needed money for children, when Portland needed money for schools, when Portland needed money for security, she was on that budget committee. And when that budget committee said no, Margaret closed that door. Now the budget committee is, Margaret got up on that table. Margaret had on her high heels. She's a woman and a lady. Margaret stomped and stomped and stomped and stomped until the city of Portland, her community, got its funds for the children, for the school, and for the safety. Now, and Obama, President Obama, is not the first African-American president in our state. Margaret Carter is. From 2004 through 2008, Margaret Carter was the first African president of the Oregon State Senate pro tem for 4 years. So now she's currently the director of the Department of Human Services. There's some naysayers we've heard in the news that say she ain't qualified. Well, I say, well, who's more qualified than the former president of the Oregon State Senate? Who's more qualified than somebody with a master's of educational psychology? Who's more qualified than somebody that was a faculty member and a counselor for 26 years at Portland Community College? Who's more qualified than a leading lawmaker for over 23 years? Who's more qualified than somebody who was on the front cover of the Wall Street Journal in 1985? Who's more? And we need to remember, when they put Margaret in office, it was the people. Who's more important than the popular vote of the people to show? That's like you voting on the New York Stock Exchange for who's important. It was Margaret Carter. This ain't no old boy network. This ain't cheating. This ain't lying. This is Margaret Carter. And Margaret Carter for the city of Portland is a dream come true. Would you please put your hands together and join me in saluting Margaret Carter.
That's a tough act to follow. Good evening, for the record, Kate Brown, Secretary of State, Mr. Mayor, City Commissioners. Thank you for having us here today. I'm going to share with you a very brief letter from Senate President Peter Courtney, who couldn't be here today. It's truly written by Peter Courtney, which you will tell after you will be able to tell after I read it. So for those of you who don't know Peter, you should probably get to know him. Dear Margaret, even though you left me, I wanted to write a letter to be read on the day of this celebration in your honor. You said when we met that you would never leave me. I thought we would never break up, but you left. You killed me. I will never recover, and the Oregon legislature will never be the same. The good news is that you are continuing to work for the state of Oregon. You will be forever a tireless champion for the underprivileged, senior citizens, and families who struggle mightily to survive. Margaret, you are a legislative giant. No one will ever replace your spirit, your passion, and your dedication to mankind. You are as raucous and as colorful as it gets. Your wisdom, insight, and compassion make you a great leader. You tell it straight. You brought it all to the legislature. Margaret, at least you're not leaving Portland. The doors to your home are always open. You are always there to give food, shelter, and clothing to people in need. You are the best cook I know. I hope you don't stop baking pound cakes for me. This kind of event today in your honor is well deserved. In fact, because of the kind of person you are, you deserve to have a day like this every day for the rest of your life. Best wishes for your future. I will always miss you. Respectfully, Peter Courtney, President of the Senate.
Good evening. Michael Cobb, Manager, Office of Civil Rights for the Oregon Department of Transportation. I'm so pleased to be here tonight and honored to share in this celebration. And I won't have my remarks won't be too long, but wanted to say some things that we're all quite familiar with, and that is to be reminded that having power without passion is meaningless. Having position without passion is meaningless. Having influence without passion is meaningless, and a life without passion is definitely meaningless. But such is the case with many in the world as we know that today. However, there's an old saying that all of us are very familiar with, and that is that we all pass this way but once. And the person that we've gathered here to honor tonight, Margaret Carter, I believe she's realized this from a very early point in her life and in her long, illustrious career, because throughout her career, she has lived and is living a life with passion that brings positive change to the lives of others. She understood it early on when she was a rural music teacher and on through holding many community and public service positions on to becoming the first African-American woman elected to the Oregon legislature, as we heard, in 1984. She has always had a desire to make a difference. I know this firsthand through her interest that she's shown and the involvement that she's had with the workforce development small business programs that I manage at ODOT. Putting people to work and developing opportunities is always a challenging task, and she's always been there to offer support and advice to help get the job done. She can be tenacious about getting the job done. I remember one Sunday I received a phone call on my BlackBerry, state-issued BlackBerry, and I look at it and I said, and I answered, hello. And it was Margaret Carter, and I said, hello, Senator Carter, this is Michael Cobb. And she said, oh, sorry, Michael, you're in my speed dial right next to my nephew because the same name, Michael. So I said, oh, okay, if I can be of help, let me know. After I hung up the phone, I said, gee whiz, that is something now. I'm in her speed dial. I'd better make sure that I get this job right here. Okay, and so that was just a little inside feeling there where Margaret Carter, Senator Carter, indeed knows how to stay focused. She can be a force to be reckoned with. But it makes it all easier, a lot easier and worthwhile when you remember what motivates Margaret Carter. It is the selflessness, it's the desire to make a better world for our youth and for those without privilege, and the desire to touch just one more person on her journey through life. It is the joy of life, the passion of Senator Margaret Carter that has brought us all here tonight. And for that, I say to you, thank you. Senator Margaret Carter, may God richly bless you. Thank you.
Mayor, commissioners, distinguished guests. I'm Jay Isaac, Senior Vice President with the Portland Trailblazers. I'm so pleased to be here today to honor Senator Carter and reflect on what she has meant to our city and our state. Several people have already very eloquently outlined what she has meant in so many areas, in education, in state government, in civic and charitable endeavors. But there's so much more to Margaret that maybe not too many people do know. For example, she works behind the scenes in so many ways. Probably you don't know that she was very integral in us re-signing LaMarcus Aldridge and Brandon Roy this summer. We reached an impasse in the negotiations, and I reminded them of the German chocolate cakes that she bakes and brings to the locker room periodically, and they immediately signed right up. And she's not only talented as a baker. Have you had the opportunity to hear her sing? Unbelievable. She's done many anthems for us, and in retrospect, I can't believe I wasted so much time on Rindy Ross when I could have been managing Margaret. We are here, I'm here, to say congratulations from your biggest fans, the Portland Trail Blazers. Thanks.
Good evening. I'm Preston Williams, president of Portland Community College, to Mayor Adams and the commissioners and to all the honored guests. I want you all to know how honored I am to be able to come before you for several minutes just to acknowledge this great individual. I want to extend to you, Senator, sister, my special congratulations for, and I love those three topics in the program in terms of your outstanding commitment to the community, for your fantastic courage that you've demonstrated in your public service, but also you have a very personal story of courage that tell, and I'd love for you to continue sharing that because that serves as a role model for really all of us who are challenged. And last, but probably the most important for me, is your wonderful compassion for your public service and for many others. I want to especially, out of higher education, I want to especially thank you for your support for our resources in higher education to help kids get an education in the state. Thank you for helping us build all those beautiful buildings, the Cascade Campus that Dr. Gatewood always brags about, but I know you were the source in terms of a lot of that funding. Thank you for your special personal effort, which you don't talk a lot about personally contributing to our scholarship fund and raising money so kids can get a college education in the state and at Portland Community College. But I'm especially pleased to recognize and appreciate your involvement and commitment in the Margaret Carter Skills Center at the Cascade Campus, where you not only worked as a counselor for many years, but you also created that center. And for those of you who do not know, that center is about providing educational opportunity, life skills, counseling, advocacy, and support services for many students who are poor, who are new immigrants to our community, people of color who may not have any other choice in this community to go to college. And you stood behind that program. You helped create it. I congratulate you for that. When I think about your life and your work, I think about two quotes from Maya Angelou. I'd like to share the first one, which is as follows, quote, "That love recognizes no barrier. It jumps hurdles, leaps fences, penetrates walls to arrive at its destination full of hope." unquote. And this is demonstrated for me by you, Margaret, in terms of that Skill Center program. And it's not about PCC. It's not about me or really about you, but it's really about serving those students, providing hope and love to give them an opportunity. The second quote from Maya Angelou is as follows, quote, "People will forget what you said. People will forget what you did, but people will never forget how you make them feel," unquote. And for me, remember the first day I met you at your favorite Chinese restaurant over in Chinatown, where you invited me as a new arrival to the community, as a person head of PCC, and you told me personally how you wanted me to be successful. And if I was successful, you're going to be successful. And I still to this day appreciate that commitment. And not we didn't just talk about politics or education, but you always asked about my family whenever you would meet me. You talk about my grandson or ask about my daughters or ask about my wife. That connection, that ability to make that human relation connection, I think is indeed your real strength. And I know that this is the beginning of many future successes as you continue your work with the Department of Human Services. I know that's going to be a great success for you, and you will continue serving all of us. I love you, Senator, and the very best of luck to you. Thank you.
Senator Margaret Carter, Mayor Adams, commissioners, and all of the distinguished guests, friends here tonight, thank you. Thank you for the opportunity to share a few words about this historic occasion. When I first arrived in Portland, I talked to a lot of people, and someone said to me, if you really want to make your way around in Portland, then you need to meet Senator Margaret Carter. Said, Senator Margaret Carter knows everybody, knows about everybody. Everybody knows her. She's related to everybody. So I decided that I needed to hurry up and meet Cousin Margaret Carter. So I made it a point to meet her, and as it turns out, that's one of the smartest things that I've ever done in my life. Now, I have to add that there were a couple of times when Senator Margaret Carter had to set me straight. But I got to say this, and you're supposed to laugh, but she had to set me straight a few times, but I'm a better person for having been a recipient of her guidance. Senator Carter is one of those rare people whom I believe was born to be a leader. You know, people like me, I'm still struggling trying to be a leader. But I think she was born to be a leader, and I believe that a lot of people, all of us in this room here tonight, and many people far beyond, are a whole lot better off because of her commitment, her courage, her passion, compassion, and hard work. And I can't leave this out. I don't know why the other speakers before me didn't catch this, but she's quite a snappy dresser, too. Senator Carter is an exemplary public servant because she's one of those people whom there is little distinction between friends and family and community and constituents. They all matter to her. And they are all the beneficiaries of her tireless energy. Now, I've come to know her pretty well over the last 5 or 6 years, and I can honestly say that I believe that she serves so diligently out of love. What she's accomplished over her distinguished career so far has been out of love. Love for the community, love for her family, for her constituents, for the city of Portland, and of course for the great state of Oregon. Now, Dr. Pulliam has already mentioned to you about Senator Carter forming the Skills Center some 20 years ago on my campus. You know, it's like Nordstrom's at the mall. It's an anchor for my campus. And I'm proud that she formed the Skills Center. It helps make what I believe a community college campus ought to be about helping those people who have not had opportunities, who have been underrepresented, unemployed, chronically unemployed, disenfranchised, helping people like that obtain kind of skills they need to get a job, but not just get a job, but to keep a job and make a living wage. And perhaps more importantly, that skill center has helped people find dignity, the dignity that comes along with being self-sufficient. Senator Carter set out to help people who truly needed it, and not only help them, but she has created an enduring institution that continues to help people today. So it was a great moment of pride when we, in 2007, named that center for her. It has served thousands and thousands of students. The Skill Center, was being renamed in her honor, was one part of her legacy. One, of course, that is close to my heart, and one that I feel privileged to have been a part. Today, Senator Margaret Carter Day is another part of that legacy. And it is fitting to say that this is a tribute that is only deserving of a person with such singular distinction and accomplishment. Senator Carter, thank you. Thank you for all that you've done for this state, for all that you've done for Portland, and for all the people who reside within them. We're all richer because of your work. Thank you very much.
Hello, my name is Marcus Mundy, and I'm the current president and CEO of the Urban League of Portland. And Senator Carter preceded me by two women, I guess, herself and Vanessa Gaston. But I'm here today by virtue of my position, and I'm lucky enough to address you because of that. And I'm honored to speak on behalf of Senator Carter and just remind this group of some of the things she's done in this community, starting with the Urban League. That's where I live. That's where I work every day. And I'm following a very, very strong legacy through her work. I'll be mercifully brief. And in fact, thank you for allowing me this venue, Mayor Adams and Commissioners. But through her work, she's given us scholarship funds. She has the very skill center that the last two speakers spoke about. Our students are using that skill center right now, developing the skills they'll need to work in the 21st century. She has given us her time, she has given us her advice, and she has kept the Urban League going, she has kept this city going, and she has kept this state going with her passion for the work. But all those things, while important, one of the most important things she did for me and for my family is she served as an ambassador. When we first got to town, my wife and I and our family, we were strangers in a strange land. Every other city I had lived in had a few more people of color than Portland. But she made us comfortable. She came to our house. She sought us out because she was a sorority sister of my wife. She looked us up. She made us feel welcome. She told us how to navigate this city. She told us how to deal with people in the city, how to get connected. And she constantly offered her service and her help for whatever we needed. And this was a very important person in Oregon. This was someone who was very busy working, and we were just two new folks in Portland. But she looked out for us, and she looked out for her family. So beyond all the work that she's done for the Urban League, beyond all the work she's done for Oregon and the state, I appreciate that she always took the time to care about what was going on with myself and my family. And as I further on in my role at the Urban League, I will continue to try to emulate her version of servant leadership, because she truly embodies that. She truly is a servant leader for our state. And if I can do that in my role, I will be well served. So thank you, Senator Carter. Thank you for letting me share a few minutes with you all today.
Mr. Mayor, thank you. My name is Samuel Henry. I'm on the faculty of your university, Portland State University. And I'm the former chair of the Oregon Commission on Children and Families. I've come to City Hall to offer thanks on behalf of all those children and youth to Senator Margaret Carter. Like a string of black women in our recent memory, including the Honorable Shirley Chisholm, Barbara Jordan, Dr. Mamie Clark, and our two Oregon contemporaries, Senators Jackie Winter and Avell Gordley, Senator Margaret Carter has had the audacity to act on beliefs that our children and our youth deserve nonpartisan support and deserve a community that accepts, educates, and in many cases protects them from harm. From the vantage point of chairing the Oregon Commission on Children and Families for the last 6 years, I've personally witnessed Margaret Carter make budgets where no one thought it was possible, and seen her cross party membership on behalf of kids when others thought it was political suicide. It was never easy. Margaret Carter often met and worked, and I hope there are no people that will refer to this in the room, but with the cranky, the narrow-minded, the self-admiring, the spiritually dispossessed, and the politically and socially inept, all to make progress for our kids in multiple communities. She literally would work with almost anyone. By strength of her will, her intelligence, her hard work, her leadership, and astute and forceful questions, and you haven't been asked a question until you stood before Margaret Carter at a legislative hearing and been asked a question. She neutralized those who tried to drive anti-kid agendas down the throats of protection, education, prevention, and thoughtful system-wide approaches. So, Senator Carter, from the teens who don't sleep under the Multnomah County bridges or couch surf in Union County because you helped steer runaway and homeless legislation that translated into pilot programs and effective intervention, we thank you. For Healthy Start, that with your help got us to Healthy Families America certification and now provides one of the nation's most effective child abuse interventions, thank you. For the expansion of the Children's Relief Nurseries, whose people take in crack and meth babies and toddlers rescued by law enforcement in the middle of the night, we thank you. And for CASA and Revised Family Foster Care and community schools and higher education and K-12 education and a dozen ways that make it possible for all adults who care about children and youth to sleep at night, we thank you. Thank you, Senator Carter.
My name is Vera Poole, and it is a pleasure, and I'm not going to be here long. I just want to congratulate you, Margaret, on your work that you have done in the community. I have known you, as you know, for over 30 years, and you are the reason why I have not retired. I celebrated my 39th year on Monday, and my staff want to know, when are you going to retire? And I said, I know Senator Carter. She's still working. As far as I can recall, you've had four different careers, and I said she still looks good, and if I can continue to work and look as good as Senator Carter, I will continue to work. So you are the reason why I'm still working, and I want to say congratulations to you, and on behalf of the Multnomah County Sheriff's Office, Interim Sheriff Dan Satan, we want to salute you and congratulate you for being our partner over the years. And in addition to that, on behalf of NOBLE, National Organization of Black Law Enforcement Executive, Margaret was there with us from year one. We was chartered in 1994. Whenever I would call on Margaret to assist NOBLE, she was always there. Of course, we didn't have any money, so there was always no charge. So on behalf of NOBLE, I want to present you, Senator Carter, with the best of the best. And you are a phenomenal woman, and a phenomenal woman deserves phenomenal roses.
Mayor, commissioners, thank you for allowing me back in the house again. Twice in one day, and they didn't have to call security.
Night's still young.
Peace guard. No peace guard. Margaret, I know you so well, I don't have to read from a script. I really don't have to read from the script. But I'm going to remember the words of Booker T. Washington, success is not measured by the position that one has achieved in life, but by the obstacles they've had to overcome while trying to succeed. Can I get an amen up in here?
Amen.
I'm not a preacher, but I understand the word. There'll be a collection in a little bit. I'm a businessman. Isn't that right, Randy?
You know, we just did this about a month ago, and it's always a pleasure for me to come and say a few words about people that we admire, people that have been an icon in our community. See, when you say a single name, when you know that you made it, when you said a single name, when somebody says Margaret, they already know it's Margaret. Margaret. That's right. Okay. Pookie.
Let me come.
Okay. Y'all know Pookie Johnson. Okay. Seriously. You know, I know you better than anybody else. See, we got John and Kate plus 8. But before that, we had Margaret and Bebe's kids of 9 or whatever it was she brought. Seriously, on a serious note, see, people didn't realize for a long time, and I did not know until how many years ago? 10 years ago, 10, 15 years ago. Margaret and I are actually blood cousins.
Of course.
Our families are from Shreveport. Our most famous cousin, aside from Margaret, is Blair Underwood, the actor. Everybody came from Shreveport, and that's how we all got out here. She has made a difference in everybody's life, not just in mine, but everybody's life that's here and that's not here. I just want to be here for a few minutes because, see, some of us get long-winded. Pastors, do you get the hint? Okay. We need to get out of here so we can go home and get some rest. Margaret, we love you. See, that's why I'm not the mayor. I can say stuff like that. Okay. We love you. Keep doing what you're doing. I know the St. John's store has now closed because you are no longer in the Senate, but I like what you're wearing today. It's an inside joke. Isn't that right, Bernie? Okay. God bless you. Ladies and gentlemen, Senator, always Senator Margaret Carter, give her a round of applause.
Thank you very much. Thank you.
To the Honorable Mayor and distinguished members of the City Council, I take your hint, my brother. Okay. The late Martin Luther King Jr. once said, human progress is neither automatic nor inevitable. Even a superficial look at history reveals that no social advance rolls on the wheels of inevitability. Every step towards the goal of justice requires sacrifice, suffering, and struggle. The tireless exertion and passionate concerns of dedicated individuals like the Honorable Margaret Carter. Margaret Carter epitomizes this quotation from the late Dr. Martin Luther King Jr. as a voice for the voiceless, the marginalized, and the disenfranchised. Former Senator Margaret Carter has been a fighter for children and senior citizens and the poor. Her life is a testimony to the virtues of hard work, commitment, education, sacrifice, and to the commitment of godly people with a just vision for humanity that they can make a difference. We are truly thankful for God sending Margaret Carter to the great state of Oregon. She is a living legend, our legend, that has touched so many lives in this city and our state. We are truly thankful for you, Senator Carter. On behalf of the Allen Temple CME Church family, North Portland Bible College, as well as the many ministers and pastors, you are our voice. Thank you very much.
Yeah. Mr. Mayor, Madam President, members of the commission, my name is Matt Hennessy, the pastor of Vancouver Avenue First Baptist Church, and I'm delighted to be here because now that Pastor Haynes has spoken, I come as a pastor who can preach all night, and it's a joy to do that. I am here for two reasons. On the one hand, I just want to say a couple of things. One, I pay tribute tonight to Senator Carter, not just on my own personal behalf, but on behalf of the fact that she has adopted so many of us as her children. She is a wonderful woman who, by the way, often people talk about the 9 children that she has had biologically. I just want to know, because the last time we did this at Multnomah County, I got in serious trouble from the sisters because I was talking about all of us sons who had been adopted by her. So if you're sister, brother, and you've been adopted by Margaret, just raise your hand right now. Do me a favor. Okay, good. I just want to, now that we've got that out of the way, amen, it's about all of us. We love Margaret for lots of reasons, in addition to the things that have been said here, but she makes the best pound cake ever. Amen belongs right there.
Amen.
She makes good greens, she makes good jambalaya, and in fact, all kinds of things that I don't need to share tonight, but all are good. If you've never been there, don't worry about it. It's really horrible food, because all you're going to do is cause us not to have that much left. Let me also say that when it comes to Margaret, the one thing that I have noticed, and maybe you all haven't, maybe it hasn't been your experience, but my experience is that I have never been asked by Margaret to do anything. I have always been told by Margaret to do something, and she does it in the sweetest way because, quite frankly, you don't know that you've been told, but you know you'd better do whatever it is she told you to do. The second reason, and so on my personal behalf, on behalf of Sharon and Kyra and our family, it's a joy to be here tonight. Let me also, Mr. Mayor, Madam President, members of the commission, read a letter from our governor, Theodore R. Kulongoski, written on December 16th to the citizens of Portland. I am pleased to join you and the Portland City Council in honoring the work and life of Senator Margaret Carter. As the first African-American woman elected to the Oregon legislature, Margaret worked tirelessly to make an Oregon a place that is free of poverty, racial divisions, violence, and injustice. While we have not achieved these goals, Margaret continues to provide a moral compass for those of us as she leaves behind in elected office. Margaret has always been a champion for those without a voice, and Oregon is a better place because of her service. The senator has exemplified commitment, courage, and compassion in both her public and her private life. I am grateful to call her a friend, and am grateful for her years of service to Oregon. Signed sincerely, the governor and our First Lady, Mary Oberst. Amen belongs right there.
Amen. Thank you.
Roy J., time me because I'm taking a text. Acts, the 16th chapter, verses 11 through 15. There is a story that's told about a woman called Lydia. And I thought about Lydia last night because it really talks to me about who Margaret Carter is. Lydia was a businesswoman, which meant that she had singleness of purpose, mental acumen, ability, and those things that resided in Lydia resides in Margaret Carter as well, as she raised her family and gave service to the citizens of her community and her state. Lydia was a devout woman. She worshiped God, and Margaret has taken time throughout her career to take her faith seriously. When many people who sometimes allow their personal pursuits and their own affairs to leave them with no time for faith, she, as Lydia, took time, believed, and served. Lydia was also a seeking woman. Lydia was present when Paul was speaking and heard a message that captured her heart and impacted her life as well as her business. It is said that Chrysostom said about Lydia, "It is to open is the part of God, and to pay attention is that of the woman." God opened and Margaret paid attention. And as Lydia said, "If you consider me a believer in the Lord, then come and stay at my house." That leads me to three character qualities I would like to share that I see in Lydia that I also see in Senator Carter. Number one, she was not slothful in business. She attended to the business. the affairs of business, as well as her employment and service as both in the House of Representatives and the Senate. She is fervent in spirit. She remained true to her character as a woman and believed as a woman of respect and of fortitude, and she served. It was indeed perhaps a cold day on December 1st, 1967. Margaret Carter arrived in Portland, in the great Pacific Northwest, with five daughters, sometimes I would hear her say, with my babies, from Louisiana, seeking a better and a safer life. Margaret Carter could have allowed this to keep her from, but she did not succumb to that. She rose up, much like the story is told of the old farmer who had a mule who fell into the well. Since he could not get him out, he decided he would bury him. So he began to throw all types of stuff on top of the mule, but the old mule was smart. Sometimes what was thrown on him hurt him, but he just shook it off and he stepped up. He kept on shaking until one day he rose to the top and out he came. That's a Margaret Carter. She used it all as a stepping stone. She went back to school in pursuit of a better preparation and education. She became an educator and a counselor. She soon attracted the attention of Republican leaders who in 1983 recruited her to run for the House of Representatives, and in 1984, she won as a Democrat. Life may hand you circumstances, storms may come. One cannot control the storms, but can control how one responds in the storm. During her tenure, she worked to bring about the passage of legislation and funding for many programs that benefited not only her community and her district, but the communities of the state of Oregon. She went on from being the first African-American elected to Oregon Legislative Assembly to become the president pro tempore, and I didn't say that right, but you know what I'm talking about, of the Oregon State Senate. Senator Margaret Carter, you have blazed a trail, not only in the spirit and character of Lydia, but in the spirit of Margaret Carter, a high school salutatorian, a wife, a mother, an educator, a politician, a community activist and supporter, a neighbor, a friend, an individual. You have instilled among us and in us a model which we can grow and assimilate. And we thank you so much today as we honor you as a living legend. On behalf of myself, my congregation, Maranatha Church, and the Albino Ministerial Alliance, I leave you with two more things very quickly. First of all, the Wallace Amos Watermelon, I can't even say that right, Watermelon Credo, which says, whatever you believe creates your reality. Attitude is the right magic word. Together, everyone achieves more. Enthusiasm is the wellspring of life. Respect yourself as well as others. Make commitments, not excuses. Every day can be a fun day. Love is the answer. One day at a time. Never give up or become a victim. You see, the difference between a successful person and others is not the lack of strength, not a lack of knowledge, but rather in lack of will. Senator Carter, continue to exert your will. But there are no more prizes, I heard someone say, for predicting the rain. So as Jeanetta Cole said, build an ark.
Can you hear me? Good? Okay. I'll be presenting a speech that was given by Sojourner Truth in 1851 at a women's rights convention in Akron, Ohio. She stood for women's rights, and she was speaking to the crowd, letting them know that women need to be heard. And she also talked about superior rights versus intellect. So this is a speech, Ain't I a Woman? Well, children, well, there is so much racket, there must be something out to kill them. I think that twixt the niggas of the South and the women of the North, all's a talking about rights, the white man be in the fix pretty soon. But what's all this here talking about? That man over there, he said women need to be helped in the carriages and lifted over ditches and gives the best place anywhere. Nobody ever lifted me into no carriages or over mud puddles or gives me any best place. And aren't I a woman? Look at me. Look at my arm. I have plowed and
planted and gathered in the barns, and could no man have